Today's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame."
Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they might accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
1 Peter is a letter written to all of those people that had been in Pentecost in Jerusalem, had heard Peter speak and went to different cities all around the known world and seemed to plant churches there, because Peter is writing this letter many years later in the midst of difficult circumstances. And as you'll know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about this incredible analogy that Peter uses of refining, of when we go through difficult times, it brings to the surface all the crud that's within us. It's called dross or slag. And those who are refining metal scrape it off the top of the metal to make it more pure, so that the face of the metal worker can be seen in the refined metal. And so as we go through difficult circumstances, so God is bringing to the surface stuff in us that we might not like about ourselves, stuff that we'd rather not be there, but it comes to the surface and we bring that to God, and through the process of repentance, changing our minds, saying sorry and asking God then to help us live differently, faith. Jesus said the kingdom of God comes through repentance and faith. As we repent and as we step out in faith, so the Father scrapes away the dross and we begin to reflect him even more in our lives. And then Rick spoke last week about what it means to rid ourselves from malice and other evil things. The week before, we're thinking about what it means to be holy, set apart for God. And today just presses in a little bit more with some of those themes. We're being built together, Peter says, by God into a holy people who can declare his goodness to others, who don't necessarily need a meat mutton to do it, but we can declare God's love to others. And he starts by saying, as we come to God. And the language that's used there in the Greek is evocative of the Old Testament and the priesthood who would have come before God. In the Old Testament, it was only priests who could come before God. And twice in this passage, Peter refers to God's people in Christ, you and me, as a priesthood. Now, the priesthood had a particular function in the Old Testament and it continues in the New Testament, although who is part of that priesthood changes. The role of a priest was to represent people to God, and they did that by means of sacrifice and prayers. They took the sacrifices from the people and then they presented those sacrifices to God. So they represented people to God, but they also then represented God to people, partly by the clothes they wear, partly by the position that they held, but particularly by the words that they spoke. When they spoke words of forgiveness and freedom to those who had brought their sacrifices, they represented God to those people. And Peter seems to be arguing here that you and I, those of us who follow Jesus, are being formed into a priesthood, a group of people, those set apart from the world, who will represent people to God and God to people. It says that Jesus is the living stone, the cornerstone, the one that was rejected has now become the most important one. And the cornerstone is, of course, the corner of the building, the first stone that was laid originally to make sure everything else was firm and secure. Jesus is the cornerstone, but Peter says we are like little stones. We are part of the building. Now, I find this fascinating because I think if we're learning anything through lockdown as church, we're learning that church is not a building. Like, the church is closed. We can't go into the building at all, but the church is not closed because you and I are still awake in faith. We're still seeking to try to journey along that path of faith, trying to find where is God at work in us. What is he saying about the stuff that's coming to the surface that I might not like about myself, that you might not like about yourself? The church isn't a building. The church is us. And to play our part, we come to God through Christ and we need each other. One stone on its own is nothing, but many stones together can create a beautiful, stunning, useful building. And that's what God is inviting us to do and to be in this time. To not be dependent on a place where we meet, but to be dependent on his Holy Spirit and cheering one another on that we might be living out this life of faith in our city. Verse 5 talks about being built together to make a temple, to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. It brings to mind Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, in view of God's mercy, God's great love and his grace, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Coming together on a Sunday morning is part of our worship, but it's not the whole of our worship. Our true and proper worship is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Whatever you want, God, have your way in me. You see, Peter's saying that the church is the fulfillment of the Old Testament priesthood. So we can understand much about the Old Testament descriptions of sacrifice in a new way. I don't know if you're a fan of the Old Testament or not so much. It can be a little bit hard to understand. It can be a little bit difficult to get your head around. But there were five different types of offering that a priest would offer on someone's behalf. And when you read through the book of Leviticus, this long book of laws and principles, it can be a little bit overwhelming, but there's simply five. The first was a sin offering. It was given for unintentional sins, and it included confession, forgiveness, and cleansing. The second was a guilt offering for something that required restitution or reconciliation. And forgiveness was offered, reconciliation was offered, and cleansing was assured through the guilt offering. The third was the burnt offering. This was simply for worship and an expression of commitment to God, bringing an offering to God that it may be burned in his presence, something of worth to me given to God simply for his pleasure. The fourth was a grain offering, and that was usually to do with a thanksgiving for God's provision and a sign of surrender, thanking God for all that he has given, but remembering that all we have simply belongs to him anyway. And so we surrender ourselves to him through a grain offering. The fifth was the fellowship offering. That was simply to do with thanksgiving. And the thing I love about the fellowship offering is you got to hang out with your friends and eat it after you made the offering. It was a shared meal with friends. Five different types of sacrifice that the priests would have offered to God on behalf of the people. And here Peter is talking about spiritual sacrifices, not physical ones then, but spiritual ones made acceptable to God as we come to him through Jesus. You see, we're not approaching God with our own confidence. We're not approaching God based on our goodness or how great we are, but through Jesus. It's remembering that when we come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, it's like he puts his arm around us, walks into the Father's presence, where we might feel we're not worthy to be because we're not worthy to be. But Jesus says, "It's all right, Dad. He's here with me. She's here with me." And because the Father sees us through Christ, he welcomes us into his presence. And we're able to come before him in view of God's mercy through Jesus, remembering all that he has done for us, and then being able to offer him the representation of other people. Lord, would you remember this person? Lord, have mercy here. Lord, do what you promised in this situation. And as we're in his presence, we then offer him our spiritual sacrifices. Just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament, these are confessing our sin and receiving forgiveness. They're expressing worship and our commitments. They're giving thanks to God for his provision. It's surrendering ourselves to him and enjoying his presence with other people. The Message translation puts it this way: present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. When we first planted, we wrote that verse on bricks. There's our brick, and gave it out to all the different people who were joining the team early on. And if you're really observant, when we open up the church again, you might be able to spot one or two around the building. We really believed then, and we still believe now, that this verse is key for what it is that God is calling us to do in this city. We're excited about seeing a community vibrant with life, but we're also excited about seeing a city transformed and vibrant with God's life. We're living stones, which means that some have moved on and some are still here from that initial planting team. But the vision and the dream is the same, that God would take us as living stones, and as we present ourselves to him, he would build a home for himself that would be vibrant with life. That means a community committed to one another and learning to grow and forgive. It means creativity spilling out in all the different spheres of culture in our city, through family, through education, through government, through media, through the arts, through business, and of course, through the church. Imagine it, families vibrant with God's life. Education vibrant with the life of God. Government vibrant with the good news and life of Jesus. Media vibrant with God's love and light. The arts vibrant with God's vision and creativity. Jesus at the center of businesses, making them vibrant. And the church vibrant and necessary to the healthy life of our city. That's the vision of our church. To work for this, to pray for this. Not just have some great Sunday services where we remember to unmute ourselves and some great midweek groups and ministries and outreach, but to be vibrant with the life of God, which resonates out into the world during the week, whatever we find ourselves doing with our time. You see, it's not only religious activities that are spiritual. Everything is spiritual, because you are spiritual, because God's Spirit lives within you. And so whatever you do is spiritual. And the question is whether it's a spiritual sacrifice, act of worship, or not. And Jesus has saved us into his family that we may be filled with the Spirit, that we may live out our lives as a spiritual sacrifice to him. So being the best administrator you can be to serve your company well is spiritual. Raising your kids as best you can is spiritual. Studying as hard as you can to get the best grades that you can is spiritual. Filling out your tax return is spiritual. Jesus reminds us, because he is the incarnation of God, that he encompasses the spiritual and the physical, that they come together in Christ. The religious activities and the regular things too. And Peter calls us priests in these places, seeing ourselves as those who represent others to God and God to others. It means that we live differently. In verse 11, Peter calls us exiles or aliens. We're different, we look different, we live different. As citizens of heaven, we battle against and abstain from sinful desires. And so verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Here, Peter is echoing the words of Jesus himself. And it means whatever we find ourselves doing, we are part of God's tapestry, part of God's work of art in this world. As we offer ourselves in his service, we represent God to people and people to God through our work, our witness, and our prayer. So God is building us together into a holy people, a people set apart for him, who rid ourselves of evil, that we might do good and declare his goodness and praises to others. We share his risen life by seeing our world transformed with his love. That's the vision of our church, loving and serving Jesus, each other, and Greater Manchester and beyond. It's the vision of our Connect groups to help you grow in your faith in Jesus, to build you up strong with others in the church, that you might be strong for Jesus in your daily life. It's the vision behind our different ministries to reach out and represent Christ to others. It's why we pray to represent people to God. It's what we see developing here in our church, and it's really exciting. And it's what we saw when we visited Hong Kong back in October last autumn. The people of God there giving themselves to the work of God with the poorest and the most vulnerable, but also working across all different parts of the economy during the week, shining with the light of Jesus as they worshiped together, prayed together, and honoured Jesus with their work and their lives. The government there and others see their good deeds and help out. One charity Lizzie works with said thank you to her this week, not just for the work that she's doing, but for checking in on them and asking if there's anything they needed prayer for this week. They're not a Christian organisation, but they really appreciate the love and support and are thankful for our prayers. It's those little things, sharing the light and life of Jesus with others in simple ways, which can make a huge difference in other people's lives. So what about us? Maybe you are in the midst of a spiritual battle right now against some sinful desires that wage war against your soul. It is a battle, and we need one another to help us stand strong. Maybe you don't see what you're doing during the week as spiritual at all. Maybe you're not connected in. You're a living stone, but not built into this beautiful temple that God is trying to establish, not just in our church, but in the church across the world. Today, Jesus wants to speak to you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to press into him. To do what we said a few weeks ago about living the resurrection life, to stand firm in the faith and offer ourselves wholly to the Lord. So I wonder, how can you see what you do during the week as spiritual? How can you function as a priest, representing God to others and others to God? Who are the stones close to you right now who are helping you be part of God's building and all that he is seeking to do in our city? We offer ourselves to God and we seek to honor him with our lives. So church, this is our vision. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life. Shall we take a moment to pray? Lord Jesus, thank you that you offered yourself to us. You gave everything so that we could be free. And Lord, right now we offer ourselves to you afresh. Thank you that you have made us a royal priesthood, that you welcome us into your presence, and that you invite us to represent you to others and others to you. Thank you that you clothe us with righteousness. Thank you that you drive away shame and fear. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our lives afresh this day.